So today is the feast of Christ, the solemnity of Christ the King. And you're number four, by the way. I'm having a five mass weekend this weekend. But anyways, so I did the traditional Latin mass too. So all the readings are about end times, right? And we place this feast on the very last day of the liturgical year. So next weekend will be Advent, and we start a fresh, new liturgical year. Oh, I love that word, fresh and new and year. but anyway, I have a lot of hope, and I want to tell you why I have a lot of hope, okay? So, hear me out. So, in the last Mass, Jesus, it was, again, end times readings, but he pointed to the prophet Daniel, who prophesied about the abomination of desolation. Okay? And basically what that means is that just before Jesus comes, there'll be some last act, probably some kind of idolatry, but it'll be the time where Jesus will feel that he's done just about all he can. Okay? So let's put an end to this. Anyway, and I'm obviously paraphrasing, but what will happen is that there will be this abomination of desolation, some kind of pagan act or whatever, but that will set us into a 3.5 year great tribulation. Okay, and it'll be a lot of suffering and everything. But what we found throughout salvation history since the prophet Daniel is that there has actually been forerunners to the great tribulation, and so we know, like for instance, in 167 when Antiochus erected a statue of the Greek god Zeus in the Jerusalem temple. Okay, and then what followed after that was a lot of suffering, warring, plagues, and the like. And then again in AD 70, the Roman armies under Titus sacked the city of Jerusalem. In the process, Titus's forces destroyed the temple building and the altar, and to this day it has not been rebuilt. Okay, so that would be considered a forerunner to the Great Tribulation. Again, war broke out, famine and plague after that. All right. So I'm not saying that we are in what is at the actual Great Tribulation, but I'm very open to the possibility that we are in one of those forerunner times to the Great Tribulation. So why does God do this? Well, I think we've talked about this, that God, I like to call him a perfect dad, okay? So he dads well, all right? And good dads, let me start with bad dads. Bad dads let the kids have temper tantrums and then they reward them for that, for instance, okay? They kind of don't pay attention to them, and here's 20 bucks, and just get out of my face. You know, kind of, that's a bad dad, right? And so you just kind of give the kids stuff, and your greatest priority is that the kids like you, okay? And so you just give them stuff to keep them happy. And then what happens is the kid grows up, and he remains a spoiled brat kid. That's my theory as to what is going on in the streets of America over this past summer. We're probably a lot of homes like that. What's a great dad? A great dad gets serious when he needs to, okay? And I always say, you know, look at Jesus more closely. You know, he's a nice guy. He's loving. He's easy to approach. He's all the good things because, of course, he's sinless. But just this a couple of days ago, we had him flipping tables, you know, making a whip a whip, and driving people. Stop making my father's house a marketplace. Get these out of here. We had readings not too long ago where he called the hierarchy, basically, of his time, "You brood of vipers, you hypocrites." You see what I'm saying? And there's times, too, when Jesus seems a little strict. "Hey, listen, if your hand's a problem, cut it off. Hey, you know what? If you're hated, realize they hated me first." You see what I'm saying? But he can't sin. But he has this tone and manner, right? Why? Because he's helping us as a great leader, okay, to understand the seriousness of the matter. All right? And so then we come today to the readings from Ezekiel. And actually, if you read that whole chapter from Ezekiel, because it ends with, is that I'm gonna shepherd you. I'll do it. But if you put this in context, he just got done ripping on the shepherds of the time and really calling them out. You know, I mean, the word of God came to me, son of man. This is the beginning of the chapter, by the way. "Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice lambs, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost." So it goes on. And so then it comes to today's gospel where he says, "I'm going to do it. I'll do it for you." Jesus is our great shepherd, okay? I think that we've gone through a period of time. You know, "Woe to you shepherds of Israel, you only take care of yourselves." I think we've gone through a period of time with the shepherds in our church, and I'm primarily talking about the bishops, okay, where they were more concerned, okay, with not getting attacked by anybody and make sure everybody likes them, right? And so what they're doing is they're compromising with the powers that be. That's what Ezekiel brings out as well in that, is this compromise. And so what are you doing? You're setting the sheep up to get devoured. And that's what we're in right now. That's the time that we're in right now. The sheep are being devoured. Now, we all know that we just celebrated the 100th anniversary of Fatima, right? Okay, May 13th, 2017. I just want to lay out a little bit about what's gone on since then. Ready? We watched exposés throughout Hollywood government and now the church. A world looked on in horror as a little Elfie Evans was executed. We watched Ireland devoured by Satan in their vote to kill babies. We watched the Irish government demand that Catholic hospitals kill babies. We are watching as grown men must be allowed to share a bathroom with little girls. We are watching as boys are winning in girls' athletic events, stealing awards and scholarships. We are watching as we are told that what we feel we are overrides what God created us to be. So gender dysphoria, normalization, right? We are watching the mainstream media in Hollywood move from left-leaning to psychotic in their efforts to gain power. We are watching 3 years of non-stop Saul Alinsky tactics thrown at the greatest pro-life president in history. The radical secular left is in full-on panic of losing their sacrament of abortion. We watch German bishops propose communion for Protestants. We are watching while we are given no clear answer whether the Vatican advocates communion for those in mortal sin, the dubia, right? Okay? We are watching as a gay activist priest is invited by the Vatican to a special office and to be a keynote speaker. We are watching as holy clerics are being exiled while dissenting clerics are being elevated. We are watching as Australia is trying to make priests break the seal of confession under penalty of law. We are watching a historic level of Christian persecution ignored by the mainstream media and even the church. We are watching widespread leftist privilege, so college admissions and Jussie Smollett. We watched a demonic level of chastisement of Judge Kavanaugh because he threatens the demise of the killing of innocent children. We watched the demonic level of chastisement of the Covington kids because they were Catholic and pro-life and supported the president. We are watching devout Catholics denied government service. The dogma lives loudly in you, right? You're a Knight of Columbus. We are watching speakers who do not stay within the lines of the ruling class talking points excluded and even physically beaten. We watch Democrats advocate infanticide. We watched heresy proposed in the Amazon Synod. We watch pagan goddesses paraded through the Vatican. That's even before this year. All that. Then we come on this 2020. I should laugh. A pandemic, but hyper-politicized to instill fear, to depress the economy, so that you can get power. Inciting riots in the streets to induce fear, to chaos, to depress the economy, so that they can get in power. Now it's becoming very clear that this, I call it a ruling class New World Order cabal, is so vast and so coordinated that they might get away with stealing a presidential election, unheard of in all the history of America. Here's what I find interesting. So when we talk about this abomination of, what do we call it? I know you're all sitting out there going, I know what it is. Abomination of desolation. I don't know why I blocked on that. And then followed by a 3.5 year period of time of tribulation. I did a little math. So May 13th, 2017, what if you went 3.5 years behind that? Where would you, beyond that, where would you land? You know where you land? On November 13th, 2020. That marked the day that the president's lawyer, Sidney Powell, announced that they're about to release the Kraken. Now, I started this whole homily out saying I got hope. And that's the reason why I have hope. Because I think this is the direction it's going. And this is the direction it went in past times, too. Is that the people seemed to change in God's eye. They got stronger. They longed for him even more. They broke free from the tentacles of their worldly stuff. And they longed more for God. And they called out to him. And so, okay, what did he do? All those wolves, all those beasts, those evil people that were devouring them, God turned on them. That's what I think is going on. I believe we've gone through a really rough period I just laid out. And they say things accelerate toward the end, so that's 2020. I think we've gone through a very, very rough period. But all signs point, and I do believe this. I want to believe this. That all that evil, that vast cabal, in such great coordination. You know, they talk about the Great Reset. Well, you know what that is? We're going to turn the world into a communist world, right? Strip away all your rights, okay? I mean, you got nothing. You will pay for abortion, sit down and shut up. That's where we're heading if they remain in the power that they seem to be finally taking control, because with a potential Biden presidency, he will just say, have at it. All of the swamp draining that's happened over the 4 years, those swamp creatures are going to just, like a herd, they're going to come back in. Corruption, dissension, every evil you can imagine. I mean, haven't we been horrified by all those that we found? I mean, look at what the CIA has been up to and the FBI. I mean, there's just swamp creatures. But here's what's happening. A big old light is shining on them. And they're scattering like rats into the wall. And that will continue. And even the whole system, that whole cabal, is about to come crashing down. We need to pray. Okay? We have a king. Right? But he might let us go through some stuff to get our engines up and running again, to get us back on our horse, to get us free from the tentacles of our worldly stuff, to get us back in that army of the children of light, dedicated with resolve to want to do all that we can, beginning with prayer, but not ending. You know, don't abuse prayer. Use prayer. Prayer with belief. But don't just throw up a rosary and say, I checked the box, now I can go golfing. We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of fighting to do. There's so much that needs to be done. But we got to get up and get going. My brothers and sisters, I have so much hope. I think, you know, God is just amazing. I mean, he would do it this way. It's at the end of a liturgical year, and we got all the readings that talk about the end times, and I mean, that's so God, you know. I mean, and then here we are. There's Thanksgiving this week. Go into it with peace and hope. God, now here, I'll say this phrase, but I'm afraid of it a little bit. God's got this. You know why I'm afraid of it? Because, again, we could go, hey, God's got it, so I can go golfing. Or hunting, whatever the season is. And go ahead and hunt. You know what I'm trying to say here. We need to get strong, okay? We need to hold our bishops accountable. With all due respect, bishops, you failed us. Okay? You wanted the money stream coming from the ruling class, so you complied. You said little or nothing. You sounded no warning bells with letting this ruling class come in and take over, which is about ready to happen unless the Kraken is released. Okay? It's time we all, with our bishops, okay, let's hold them accountable with love and respect, but let's hold ourselves accountable too. Okay? It's time for us to stand up, get strong. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all.